Welcome to a podcast of The Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
As with all pests, gnomes can be very difficult to control. It's always best if you can control them when they're quite small. As they get larger, it can become more and more difficult. We have a couple of tools that we use here in the gardens to control some of our pests, especially the gnome. One is called the winged weeder. And we found that very early in the spring, if we can go out and do a little bit of winged weeding, if you will, there's one right there. Pulls them, pops them right out of the ground. Easy to control that way. On occasion, in the fall, we'll go through and do some tilling, some heavy tilling. A little bit like what a rake would do to bring them back up to the surface when they're very small. And hopefully over the winter, it'll destroy them.
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on South Pulaski Road, just across the street from the 53A bus stop and in between Paco's Tacos and Zaka Tacos, it's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast green gardening and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas, wind blowing through breathing trees, strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the man.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees. Our business is people and their love for trees. He's the best thing to happen to the environment since the solar-powered hamster wheel. Great. Now he's putting hamsters out of business. Here he is, Mike Novak.
Are we ready to launch this spaceship here?
Or rumble.
Let's get ready to rumble! Boy.
Rumble Fish, one of my favorite books.
Ever?
Ever. What are we talking about?
I don't know. That's Leah Petrusiak, who is filling in for the injured Heather Fry.
I can't believe they broke both her legs. She owes a lot of money around town.
Wow. I had no idea.
Yeah. Sorry, Heather.
That's okay, Heather. We love you.
We love you anyways.
Wherever you are.
At the casino.
It happens, and sometimes you get under the weather, and thank goodness for you, but you're getting ready to duck out of town, aren't you?
Take us with you.
No, I'm serious. You're headed out to L.A., aren't you?
Oh, I am. I thought we were talking about Heather. Yes.
No, Heather. We're done talking.
I don't like to be one of those people who's like, I'm going out of town, you know, and then those people come back with their tail between their legs in a couple months.
Well, you didn't have to tell them what you were doing. You just needed to say you're just leaving town.
Oh, my gosh. That was a rewind on radio. Yeah, I'm going out to L.A. for a couple months, and I'm pretty psyched to be missing this weather. But I'll be with all of you in spirit. I have a feeling there's going to be another blizzard. That would be something interesting to talk to Rick about, because they were saying that the winter was going to be really bad again this year, and I wonder if it's going
to
be like...
folks are saying that. You should, you know, if you listen to this show, Rick DeMaio, who'll be on after 9:30, says, oh, don't worry about it so much.
But I wonder if there's new, like, data or something. I wonder if there's, like, a snowpocalypse part two.
Nah.
There should be a documentary.
I wouldn't worry about it. The computer screen that Mike Sanders didn't have for his show is back. I'm sorry, I keep digging back here because things are a little crazy at the start here, and I can't find my
all my bump music that I had from last week because
everything's out of control. But we won't worry about it.
But we have the coffee.
We have the coffee. We have the technology.
We have the seed catalogs.
We have the seed catalog. We have. I have in my hot little hands here the D. Landreth Seed Company 2012 catalog. Barbara Malera, who is the owner of D. Landreth Seed Company, and if you've listened to the show before, and as I wrote on Facebook, or if you're a serious gardener, you know that D. Landreth Seed Company, which is the oldest seed house in America, purveyors of fine seeds since 1784, is in serious trouble and is trying to sell a million catalogs. They started this campaign beginning of September. They thought they had a month. They had a great response. And there are folks who've bought catalogs and supported them. I mean, if you go to their homepage, you will see the list of people who have supported D. Landreth Seeds, including people like Oprah,
Huffington Post,
American Express, Rosie O'Donnell, Organic Gardening Magazine, on and on and on and on. Folks who've stepped up and said, no, we don't want this company to go under. No, this is part of our heritage in America.
Also, I would say I got a look at it just holding it in my hand. These would be great even if you wanted to, like, make, like, frame some of the pages in here. Some of the images, they're almost like very Norman Rockwell-ish.
Yeah.
And it's
And further back than that, you know. Here's the thing. Barbara Malera sent me the catalog. Actually, it's a printer's, what do they call it? Printer's proof. Of the catalog. Mm. So I'm one of the few people in America that has it, and it's sitting right here, right now. In fact, see this envelope, this priority mail envelope?
Yeah.
She said, you look at it, you scan it if you want, and we scanned a bunch of images, Kathleen did, and they're on MikeNovak.net, and you can see some of the beautiful images from this catalog.
They're really beautiful.
And she said, and when you're done, you mail it back.
Oh, yeah. You may not keep.
You may not keep this.
Instead of do not drop,
do not keep. Do not keep. And I'm, already, you know, I just got a tweet from Snappy J Dog. She says, oh, my God, did you get yours already? I ordered one, but I haven't received it yet. What?
Capitals.
No, see, I got connections here. I get connections.
Stick with us.
That's it. But you can see what it's going to look like if you go to my website, MikeNovak.net. Both on the homepage and on this week's show, there are links where you can click and see some of the beautiful images from the magazine. And like I said, I've got it here, and we'll be talking to Barb in just a second about how that all... In fact, why don't we get her on the phone now?
We'll do that.
I'm going to bust you later. Okay?
Bust me later.
Yeah, I got something I need to talk to Leah about because she didn't tell me about...
On.
What?
You know, get my helmet on.
Yeah, that's right. She's got her C-3PO headsets here, the Star Wars headsets. I don't know why you don't use that as your Facebook.
Did I tell you that I was I was DJ Princess Leia for Halloween?
Were you?
So I had my my Star Wars headphones, and then the big headphones were like my buns.
beg your pardon?
Yeah. On the other side of my body.
Okay.
Here we go.
All right. We will get Barbara Malera. Then later on, Rick DeMille weather, of course, in the first hour. We'll continue to press him to see what kind of storms we're going to have this winter. You know, it's weird. One person says it or one article comes out, and then everybody's going, oh, it's going to be a really bad winter. Oh, it's going to be really bad. Well, Rick will be the judge of that, okay?
Am I going to get busted? I already got busted for that. Sorry.
Yeah, so, that's right. You're spreading these vicious rumors.
Okay.
It's just, you know, this is how the media doesn't work.
Yeah.
Second hour, everybody's familiar with the number two pencil. I see.
Number two.
Those of you who are in the see
standardized tests.
Were you familiar with Faber-Castell?
Oh yeah.
See, I had no idea.
You know what? I even think like they used to make pencil boxes. I feel
they
like,
make all kinds of stuff, and they do stuff for kids, and they do pens, they do ballpoints, and they do all. You know, this is a two. Yeah, okay, we're talking about D. Landreth Seed Company. It's been around since 1784. Faber-Castell has been around since 1761. This is a company that's celebrating its 250th anniversary. We're going to be talking to Jamie Gallagher, who's the president and CEO of Faber-Castell USA. And they are very green, a very green company. There's a USA part of this, but Germany is primarily where the company has existed for 250 years.
Oh, wow.
And so, and they invented the number two pencil.
Hmm.
I mean, well, they manufacture 2 billion number two pencils every year.
Wow.
That's something else.
It really
and
is.
So I'm going to figure out, how can you manufacture 2 billion number two pencils made of wood, made of graphite, and still be sustainable.
Right.
So that'll be the
question. Like to hear their, because they're sustainable supposedly, or they're replanting trees down in Brazil. Is that the reforestation project? And this.
How did you know this?
Oh, I don't know. I went to MikeNovak.net.
NOWAK.net. Okay. All right. Well, I assume nobody actually reads my website, so.
I do, because I have to.
You're right. Of course. What was I thinking? You're going to have to run around there and grab that phone bank for me, too.
I will do that.
Have it here. And then finally, at the end of the show, we were talking with Mike Sanders before my show ended, just as his show ended, about our big upcoming holiday harvest, the WCPT holiday harvest. And on the show today is Suzanne Kears, who's the co-founder and executive director of Local First Chicago. And this dovetails so well into the holiday harvest because Local First Chicago is starting a program called Unwrap Chicago, Eat, Drink, and Buy Local. Mm. You can go to the website unwrapchicago.org, or you can go to localfirstchicago.org, which will take you to unwrapchicago.org. You can take a pledge to spend $100. If you're going to spend it for the holidays anyway, spend it locally.
Right.
And I guess that means no chain stores. So, you know.
No local chain stores.
No local chain
Just
stores.
Local
well,
doesn't
if
mean
there are local
the
chain stores, that's a, you know, that's a really good question.
Well, I mean, like, if there was a chain store that was based in Chicago, maybe, with
like,
three stores.
Maybe Let Us Entertain You restaurants or something like that.
Is that? Is that just in Illinois or Chicago?
Or maybe it's not just in Illinois. Sure. But there's a lot of them here, and I think
here. But lettuce is in the title. We like lettuce and vegetables.
Speaking of lettuce and vegetables, wow, what a segue. Let us go to the phones, and talk to Barbara Malera, who is the chief cook and bottle washer for D. Landreth Seed Company. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm great, too.
So we were talking earlier. You missed it because you weren't online yet. And I just got a tweet here from one of our listeners who says, wow, the catalog is really beautiful.
Yes.
And they've seen it on my website, thanks to the printer's proof you sent me, which you have ordered me to return.
Yes, please.
There's a little bit of like white powder in the envelope.
Whoa!
Or else.
Well, then it's too late already.
Oh, no. We'll be right back.
And it is. The catalog is beautiful. I have the printer's proof here, and it has images from past catalogs. It has photos from current vegetables. It has quotes from the past years, things that people said. I actually, I don't know if I'm going to be able to find it right away, but I put a couple of those quotes
on your website.
So you saw that too. Okay, good.
You bet. The lettuce quote and the tomato quote are outstanding.
I'm going to read the lettuce quote here. This is from the 1848 catalog, which, as I understand, was the second or third catalog?
No. This was their brand new catalog. In 1847, they changed the way the American seed catalog was printed. And this was the first of the new age, 1848, seed catalogs in America.
So were they printing catalogs all along?
Yes, but a seed catalog before 1847 was basically a list. A long seed catalog would be 8 or 9 pages. In 1847, their catalog was something like 60 pages. So it went from a 10-page document to 5 times that.
And they sold ridiculous numbers of catalogs because people saw this and said, oh, my goodness, I have to have this. Nobody had ever seen anything like it before, and they just snapped them up.
That's right. In 1847, they printed 13,000 copies. Now, this is 1847. They were gone in a matter of weeks. This is Pony Express, not Internet. And by 1859, they were printing 600,000 copies.
Oh, my goodness.
There were approximately 3 million people in the United States at that time. That means that a copy of the Landreth catalog was going to every home that had a postal address in the country.
Unbelievable.
It's not an overstatement, Mike, to say that in the period from 1840 to 1850 to 1860, this company single-handedly taught a nation of immigrants how to live off the land, because most of the people coming from Europe were tradespeople who, in fact, had never grown anything, and yet were going to have to be farmers in order to survive.
Hmm.
And this is a quote from the 1848 catalog about lettuce. And the quote is, "The lettuce is a hardy annual introduced or cultivated in England since 1562, but from what country is unknown. The use of lettuce as a cooling and agreeable salad is well known. It is also a useful ingredient in soups. It contains, like the other species of this genus, a quantity of opium juice of a milky nature, from which of late years medicine has been prepared under the title of lacticarium, and which can be administered with effect in cases where opium is inadmissible." Yikes.
So eat your lettuce. Get a high.
No wonder 600,000 people wanted this catalog.
Can you believe that? And could you believe in today's world where they chew all these Morning Glory seeds to get an LSD high, now they're going to be eating lettuce?
Wait. I hadn't heard that one before. Oh, write it down, Leah. Write that down, okay? Write that down.
One more time.
Okay.
What was it?
The Morning Glory seeds to get a high. Okay.
Ooh, doggy. Thanksgiving pie.
Barb, any other tips you've got for us this morning?
No, none that come readily to mind. Sorry, Ike and Leah.
Okay. Wow. See, Barb knows a lot of stuff. We love
you. Come into the studio next time.
Yeah. And bring some seed packets. Yes.
Right.
But of course, the whole idea of opium being in lettuce is
questionable at best.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Can we ask about the art? Did we?
No. Go for it.
How were there different artists who contributed, or how? What was the history of I guess illustrating the.
That's a really interesting question. It's one that I've wondered about, too.
Mm-hmm.
And about 4 years ago, a man contacted me whose great-great-great-grandfather had been employed by Landreth. In the 1880s, in the late 1800s and early 1900s, a seed company would employ a graphic artist who would actually do two things. They would put together the wood prints, the woodcuts, that you see, the black and white drawings.
Right.
They
mm-hmm.
also were taking photographs at the time, so they would do both things. And yes, they did have a number of different artists who contributed to the illustrations.
Mm. And then nowadays? Or is do you just use...
Nowadays, it's all photographs.
You guys don't do any more? You don't employ? I know, given your situation now, it would be... spending any extra money has got to be tough, but... have you thought about having artists do drawings and etchings?
Yes, we have. But you know what we have, Mike? We have a collection, a nearly complete collection of horticultural prints from the old packets that we found.
Oh.
And so that's what we use. Those color illustrations that you see at the bottom of a couple of pages are actually the drawings from our 1930s and 1920s packets.
Wow.
Cool.
Those are awesome.
Yeah.
So we have,
I want to rip some of these out. Not that I'm going to touch the one that you sent.
Get your hands off of this.
Yes, but
good thing we're not on TV.
Leah, your catalog will be shipped to you, and you should receive it sometime in early December.
Ooh, doggy.
So that's.
But I also want to put them up on my wall, frame them, or, you know, great kitchen or bathroom or, I don't know. Yeah, they're...
They're so beautiful, and I can say that because I had nothing to do with it.
Well, you're not here, Barb, but the tweets are coming in, and I haven't even been to the Facebook yet, and people are going, wow, wowie zowie.
And those are just the photographs. They're nothing compared to what the illustrations look like.
And of course, you've got to remember not only that, but you've got the listings. The point of the catalog is to get folks to buy the seeds and grow the heirloom varieties. What can you tell me about the kinds of seeds that you have in there. I don't think I've ever asked you this before, but do you grow them all yourself or do you harvest them from other people as well?
Now, everybody who's in the seed business now contracts with people that I call, this isn't an industrial term, producers. They're small companies located in the Pacific Northwest. They're maybe 10, 15 people at a time. And they contract with individual farmers to grow an individual variety. Because remember, these seeds are all open pollinated. So you can't be growing one zucchini next to the next zucchini, or you're going to have baby weirdo zucchini.
Baby okay? weirdo?
Is that a specific variety?
Yes, yes.
How can I get the baby weirdo zucchini?
And it's been patented by Monsanto.
Whoa!
Oh,
where's
ding,
my bell?
Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, my goodness. The bell is out and it's broken.
You can't. So what the seed industry is a delightful industry because it supports so many small businesses. And what it does is it supports small farmers that will grow. They'll grow 2 acres of radish, and they'll grow 2 acres of squash, and they'll grow 2 acres of tomatoes. And those things grown in seclusion, open pollinated, then the seed, once it is harvested by the farmer and cleaned by the farmer, goes to the producer. The producer then sends a sample of the seed off almost always to Oregon State University, and they examine the seed, grow it out, and provide a regulatory tag that tells you the purity of the seed, that the seed, in fact, is what it says it is, and what the germination rate is.
Why Oregon State?
I think because most of the brains are there that do that kind of thing.
Okay, they're all concentrated in Oregon State.
Well, and also the equipment is there.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever want to appreciate that you don't have to do this kind of work, go to Oregon State and look at what they do in the seed analysis labs. They, from a single sample, will examine by eye every single seed in that sample.
Hmm.
It's an amazing effort, and they do a phenomenal job.
Our hat's off to Oregon State.
Yes, thank God we don't have to do that.
That's right.
I think we just got a tweet that you have a book out featuring just the illustrations from the catalog.
No, we don't. No,
oh.
No. We would love to, though. Whoever it is, say, who's the publisher?
No.
Snappy Dog.
Yeah. That's not true. It's a shame, though. I mean, this would make, this would make a great art exhibit.
Yeah, oh,
somewhere.
Wouldn't
that be fabulous?
Oh,
but first things first, you're trying to sell a million of these so you can stay in business.
Mm-hmm.
And we need the report on that, how you guys are doing. I posted on my website the kinds of people who are supporting you. The list is amazing. I want to get to all of that. So hang on a second, Barb. I got to take care of some business here. That's Barbara Malera, who's the owner of D. Landreth Seed Company. I encourage you to go to my website, link on D. Landreth Seeds, purchase a catalog. I'm going to tell you right now, get one for yourself, get a bunch for your friends for Christmas or for the holidays or for whatever you celebrate at this time of year. This is the perfect opportunity. They're going to love you for it. This is a beautiful, just as a piece of art, they can sit this catalog on their coffee table and never order a thing from it, and
exactly.
It would still be beautiful.
Yeah.
But we hope they will order things from it. So
Snappy J Dog just did. She just bought it off the website. Woot, woot.
All right. If the bell worked, I could. we got to get Sanders. How come this bell breaks every week? I have no idea.
Oh, the technical issues.
It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. Do you know that tree care is more dangerous than police work or firefighting? That's what a study by the University of South Dakota shows. And every year, homeowners are injured or killed trying to do their own tree work. You should think twice before performing tree work of any kind, especially if it involves climbing, work from a ladder to prune a tree, and certainly attempting to cut down a tree. The problem is that in this economy, You're going to be tempted to do it yourself to save a couple of bucks, but the care of trees is fully insured to cover workers' compensation, property damage, and personal liability in case of accidents. Are you? Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard, you're changing your landscaping, invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees.
Allergies acting up, trouble breathing, headaches, sinus pressure. You're tired, congested. Isn't it time to feel better? Breathe deeply and easily. Get rid of the symptoms that complicate your life. Dr. Bonnie Flaster is an acupuncturist and chiropractor who helps people get rid of allergies without using drugs, shots, or needles. Call Dr. Flaster at River North Wellness Center, 312-642-7545. Or go to rivernorthwellness.com to find out how to get your body feeling better so you can enjoy life again.
You know that Black Friday is coming, but are you ready for Green Tuesday at Grand Street Gardens? That's their holiday open house on Tuesday, November 29, just after Thanksgiving. Have some wine, cheese, sweets, and more while shopping for Christmas trees, garlands, poinsettias, bows, pine cones, and tree stands. Local artists will be on hand showcasing their homemade Christmas items. Bad Christmas sweaters are encouraged! Tuesday, November 29th from 4 to 8 p.m. at Grand Street Gardens, 2200 West Grand Avenue in Chicago.
Out the corner of my eye, I saw a pretty little thing approaching me. She said, I never seen a man who looks so all alone. Could you use a little company? If you pay the right price, your evening will be nice and you can go and send me on my way. I said, you're such a sweet young thing, why you do this to yourself? She looked at me and this is what she said. Oh, there ain't no rest for the wicked. Money don't grow on trees.
I'm playing that song specifically for you, Barbara.
Thank you.
You know it. I mean, you've been living that life now for about,
almost
3 months. You were first on the show on September 11th, and then you were back on the show on October 2nd. Now, when you were on in September 11th, you said, well, we've got about a month. We got to get this done. You didn't have any real expectations of selling a million catalogs in a month, did you?
No, but I hoped and ended up being rightly so, that with all the progress that we made in a month, we could go back to the people and say, give us a chance. At least give us some breathing room. We can do this, but it's going to take a couple of months. And we've been given that breathing room. At this point, we've raised $167,000. $642.11 selling catalogs, $5 at a time. That's phenomenal. Thank you, Chicago. Oh, thank you, Mike. Thank you, Leah. Thank you, the Mike Novak Show. That's phenomenal. And most of these orders have been $5 at a time. So I'm very confident that once people actually get these catalogs in their hands and they see, one, we're legitimate, and two, this is an incredible value for $5, that we'll sell those million catalogs.
Yeah. It's amazing. And as you said, people in the sound of my voice have stepped up big time.
Unbelievably so.
And I know that means Illinois, Indiana, Wisconsin, Michigan. You've had a lot of folks living on the eastern shore of Lake Michigan can catch Chicago's Progressive Talk. In fact, if any of you are there now and listening, 773-838-9278, and if you've ordered a catalog, tell me why you did it. Call in right now and talk to Barbara Malera. But I am so proud of the people who have stepped up, and Barbara has sent me figures on that. It's just very heartening to see this happening. And if you look at the numbers, and I compared them between October 2nd and today, yeah, things have slowed down a little bit, but you were gearing up to get the catalog out, and now you're thinking that once a catalog is out and being shipped, that folks will there will be a bump again. Of course, there will be the Mike Novak bump.
you bet there will.
There always is. And more than that, when people see the quality of this catalog, they will step up and purchase them and keep you guys going. And so, what? How does that work then? Do you just keep buying a month at a time out of this?
No. Well, at some point, somebody's going to say enough is enough. But I think we're going to get to the million catalogs before we reach that enough is enough ultimatum. So we're just keeping our fingers crossed. But, Mike, the amazing thing is that after September 30th, things didn't stop. The momentum continued. It slowed, but it continued. And it has continued right up until today. We're still getting 100, 200, 300 orders a day for catalogs. That's amazing, and wait until they actually see the catalog.
Absolutely. I can only tell people to go to my website right now, if you're not sure of what the quality is going to be like, you can look at what we've posted up there. But, of course, you can have faith in Barbara and the folks over at D. Landreth and order it. Because you want to. Now, remember, on the show, last time you were here, and I said to folks, you when you heard her the first time, you said, oh, I'm going to do this. I want to get this done. I really want to support this company. I think it's important to keep the oldest seed house in America going. And then you forgot. Well, here, it's October 2nd. You can still do it. Well, I'm saying now it's November 20th. You can still do it because it's still going. That shows you how strong this effort has become. I was amazed at the names. We were talking earlier, Leah and I, about some of the names. You on your homepage of Landreth Seed, you've got a list of folks who have been supporting you, like Huffington Post, American Express, Fabulous Beekman Boys, Planet Green, Martha Stewart, National Public Radio, Oprah Winfrey, The View, Ellen DeGeneres, Organic Gardening Magazine, Rosie O'Donnell, Sunset Magazine, John Deere Company, Baker Creek Heirloom Seeds, a competitor, the Sierra Club, Mother Nature Network, on and on and on. You must be very heartened by that.
Heartened, but also really humbled that people would care enough about a little company that we hear every day. Most people have never heard of until they read the history, and then they 100% are behind it. It's so typically American, though, to say, "Hey, we're going to jump in with both feet and we're going to fix this. We can help." Only Americans, I think, on this entire planet have an attitude of, "We can help. We can fix it. We'll get it done."
Absolutely, and I am very flattered that I'm number four on the list. I actually counted 1, 2, 3. Wow, my name's number four on that list.
That's because for Mike Novak's listeners, he is so diligent about staying involved with the programs that he sponsors on this show. He keeps following up and following up and following up. You have a great radio program here, and part of its greatness, not only is it interesting, but it's very committed to keeping things factually correct. I'm blown away.
Wow. Can we write that down? Mark, can we flag that tape? That becomes an instant promo. What are we missing here about all of this? I know that...
Well, can I jump in? Because some of the things that people will get blown away by the pictures and the illustrations. They're phenomenal and they're one of a kind. But I hope they'll take the time to read some of the text in this book, because it's text that they will never have an opportunity to get to someplace else. They can't Google it and find 15,000 different places where this stuff is quoted. This text comes from an archive of catalogs that we inherited with the company that go back to 1839. That archive of catalogs goes from 1839 to the present day. The Smithsonian has told us it's the only collection of its kind in the world. And I don't mean it's the only collection of catalogs that go across 175 years.
Mm-hmm.
What they meant was it's the only collection from a single seed selling source. that goes across all 175 years. And by having a single source, it's like comparing apples to apples. It's one thing to take a look at what Parkseed said in 1878 and what Burpee said in 1890. It's an entirely different thing to see what Landreth said in 1839, in 1855, in 1878, in 1902, because you get a continuity there and you really begin to understand how attitudes changed in American horticulture and American agriculture. And it's actually fascinating to read these documents.
Well, yeah. I mean, when somebody tells you that there's opium in lettuce, that's pretty cool.
Right. But the other quote that you have on your website, and people have to go to your website and take a look at
this. Well, I tell you what, I'll read it right now. Is that okay?
Oh, I wish you would.
And this is from May 3rd, 1934. It was an address by Burnett Landreth, Jr., before the Poor Richard Club of Philadelphia on the 150th anniversary of the D. Landreth Seed Company. And here's what he said. In 1849, David Landreth, Jr. was the first to graft in the greenhouse a tomato on a potato root. In this instance, the tomato plant, nourished by the potato roots, produced tomatoes in the usual form. But in the second place, the potato stem grafted on a tomato root could not produce its tubers under the ground, but produced fruit the size of a small pea at the axis of all the stems, a most curious result, showing how nature strives always to reproduce itself.
Isn't that interesting? Your readers might have gotten confused with all the text, but what it was saying is when they tried to grow potato plants on tomato roots, they got pea-sized potatoes at the juncture of the stem and the main stem, the leaf stem and the main stem. So they got pea-sized tomatoes, potatoes above ground.
That's amazing. Why don't you still you should be selling that seed, you know?
It sounds like
that was like that. What was the weird one we had before? The whatever.
Oh, the weirdo zucchini?
Yeah, right. So, there you go. That is Barbara Malera. And wait a second, did I fix it? No, I didn't. I thought I had my bell fixed. So what? Again, folks, I want you to go to my website, mikenovak.net, or just go to the Landreth Seed Company website. In fact, we can. You're on Facebook. You're on Twitter. It's a great present for somebody, and it's www.landrethseeds.com. If you don't go to my site and take a look at what they're doing, and if you want to get a sense of the catalog, like I said, there's a bunch of it up on my website, and you'll get a sense of what you'll be purchasing for yourself or for a friend.
So, Mike, can I quickly say, for those of your people that aren't interested in computers, can I give the 800 number?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, because okay. I know you still get phone orders as well.
We get lots of phone orders. It's 800-654-2407. Again, 800-654-2407.
That number again.
800-654-2407.
And the Mike Novak Telethon will continue after these words. The big board, it's going up on the big board right now. Thank you so much, Barbara. We'll follow up again. I think we got to do this in the middle of December sometime, so people are reminded, as we, you know, the ones who are panicking about the holidays and getting a good gift for somebody, we'll remind them at that point as well. And here's hoping for another bump and that you keep on rocking and rolling.
Mike, that'll come. Can I ask your listeners to do one thing?
Okay.
When they get the catalog, if they like it, will they go to our Facebook page and make a post on the wall?
Mm.
That, more than anything, will help us to convince other people we're legit and it's a catalog worth buying. Please post on the Facebook page.
Oh, you are definitely legit. I don't think you have to worry about that. All right. Do that, folks. All right. Go to the Facebook page and post when you get your catalog. Yes, Leah.
Did you we got a tweet that says zinnias and Landreth introduced it to the U.S. market back in the day. Is that right?
Yeah, we introduced, Landers introduced the Zinnia in 1798 to the American market.
How about that? Wow. And you introduced the white potato.
White potato in 1811, the tomato in 1820, and the spinach that you still eat today in 1826.
That spinach is pretty old. I'm not sure. All right, Barbara, great. Have a great Sunday. We will talk again very, very soon.
Take care. Thanks so much, guys.
My pleasure.
Bye.
It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Rick DeMaio weather coming up in just a sec.
At Innovative Insulation Solutions, their mission is to deliver the highest performing foam insulation systems available on today's market with an incredible R-value of up to 7 per inch. Their history of safe and effective application of these systems, coupled with total dedication to quality, consistently earns their customers' trust and satisfaction. They specialize in all types of foam insulation. Spray-applied close-cell and open-cell polyurethane foam insulation, closed-wall cavity injection, and foam-in-place masonry block insulation. Innovative Insulation Solutions is totally committed to anticipating, solving, and supporting all of your foam insulation needs. Call Innovative Insulation Solutions today at 847-454-9081 or go to gotfoaminsulation.com. That's 847-454-9081 or go to gotfoaminsulation.com.
Oh my, give your holiday event the perfect atmosphere with the Frozen Robins Christmas Caroling Quartet. Fun and funny professional singers garbed in Dickensian costume. Also available, Santa, Mrs. Claus, that's me, and other favorite characters, and hilarious comedy holiday shows. Make your holiday one to remember. Go to ChicagoImprovAssociates.com and hit the holiday button. That's ChicagoImprovAssociates.com.
Want to make a positive move in the housing market? Replace your siding and windows. You'll improve your home's look and energy efficiency, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling and energy needs. Siding, windows, solar and wind power, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Your friends at Grand Street Gardens have a suggestion for your holiday. Why not enjoy wine, cheese, sweets, and savories while shopping for holiday gifts and decor at the Grand Street Gardens Holiday Open House on Tuesday, November 29th from 4 to 8 p.m. The store will be fully stocked with a wide selection of fresh greens, branches, wreaths, Christmas trees, and more. Bad Christmas sweaters just might be worn and might be encouraged. Join the fun. Grand Street Gardens, 2200 West Grand Avenue in Chicago.
It's the Mike Novak Show on WCPT, Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Leah Petrusiak is here in the studio with me.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm still going to bust you later on.
Okay.
I got to bust you. She did something and didn't tell me about it. All right. She's filling in for Heather Fry today and furiously tweeting away and Facebooking away. And, of course, you need to know that when I'm sitting here, I occasionally can put a Twitter post or a Facebook post, but really that's the job of the sidekick.
Yeah, there's a lot of other lights and buttons over here that he has to deal
that's
with.
That's right. So blame
and
Leah.
Screens.
So that's it. Blame Leah and her C-3PO headsets.
And that's me tapping in the background, too, the keyboard.
Yeah. You know, she sits next to me in the studio. Those of you, you know, wonder, why do I always hear the click, 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 click? Give us a little clicking there. I've got
clicky,
your mic on.
Clicky, clack, clack, yeah. Click, click, click.
But she's right here. and, you know, I like the immediacy of it. It's right there. Besides, I get lonely if I'm the only guy in the room here. And you can always Facebook us. I hope you'll like us on Facebook.
Yeah.
I hope you listen to the podcast. They are free.
Right.
And every week it's up there free. Don't have to pay for it.
Yeah. If you have an iPhone or anything,
I want to get an app. Do you think I can get an app?
You could get an app. Also, I mean, you can download podcasts on iTunes and stuff, so that's what I do.
Mm. Let's go back to the phones, and the guy we haven't seen in a couple of weeks, Rick DeMaio. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. I was actually just rewatching an interview with Bill O'Reilly and Herman Cain on YouTube. I'm still trying to figure out what Herman Cain was saying. Like, it's
all over.
What language? Yeah, you know, I'm going to tell you, Rick. Don't even bother. Don't even try. Don't even try. There's no there. Okay.
When Mystery Cain was on Letterman early this week, Letterman said, "You don't even know what 999 is." And I think actually Herman Cain saw what Rick Perry did at that debate the previous week and said, "I can top that."
No kidding. They're all scrambling all over each other trying to be goofier than the previous comment. It's pretty amazing to watch.
It's pretty sad, but actually, Rebecca and I were in New York last week. I was in town for my 30th high school reunion, and we decided to go into Lower Manhattan on Sunday and visit the 9/11 memorial site. We couldn't get in because I didn't realize you needed a ticket ahead of time. There's a lot of security with that site. But right down the block was the Occupy Wall Street gathering, so we went over there and mingled with those people. And, of course, 2 days later, they were basically uprooted. So it was a way to get a lot of things in, and it was, you know, a historic moment.
Did you take some photographs?
Yeah, we did.
You should have sent some to me. I'd have posted them on the website.
I can do that for you.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
Yeah, and you know, went up and talked to the people, and they were very cordial, very peaceful. You know, at those kind of gatherings, you're always going to get some amount of disruptive crowd, some coattailers who are just kind of looking to be a part of something because they may not have anything else going on in their life. And there were people talking about the issues, and you saw some signs relating to climate change, and I didn't get into it anybody because it's kind of on a mission, didn't have much time, but I think what made it more historical from my perspective is 2 days later, you know, they were removed reasons, as they call
and now they're being pepper sprayed for, you know, and their crime, of course, is to be sitting down. I had one of my listeners before the show start was hoping I was going to comment on that. Aside from the fact that it's obscene what's happening, I think the actions speak for themselves, and the more police pepper spray peaceful protesters, the worse they look. So they're digging their own graves here. The police department's doing that. And I know that the being a police officer is a really, really hard job. That's uncalled for. It's just you just don't do that to peaceful protesters. You just don't do it. It's unconscionable, and it has to stop.
Right. And what was more interesting about that was the media, prior to them removing all those protesters from the park, were told to leave, which I thought was interesting. They said, "We don't want anybody here with cameras. We don't want anybody here with cell phones taking pictures of anything while we remove them."
Oh, yeah. They arrested a New York Times reporter. They arrested an NPR reporter. They arrested a city councilman because they were there in the middle of the night while they were being, you know, and Bloomberg, he's another one. It's like, hey, listen, pal, guess what? That ain't what I call transparency.
He was the guy who said, "We're going to defend your right to be out there." Right, that was one of his big quotes. He's like, "I don't agree."
Yeah, but
with
that was
you,
on Tuesday. On Thursday, he changed his mind. Right. Just like when he said, "Well, I'm not going to run for a third term, but you know what? Now I really need to." And
so he goes in there and changes the law.
Yeah, exactly. So, but Leah was mentioning earlier, and she brought it up, and you can bust her on this.
Bust me.
It's all about busting Leah today. she was talking about how, it's going to be a horrible winter in Chicago. So that's the story, Rick. It has become the story.
You know what, Mike? I've already done four phone interviews. One with the student newspaper from Lewis, one from the Art Institute, one from Columbia, and I think five, actually. One from DePaul and one from Northwestern, I think, was the other school. I don't know how this got out, and I kept saying, "Why do you think it's so bad?" "Well, the paper said it's going to be bad." I go, "What exactly did they say?" And I was kind of busting the students. I go, "Before you ask me what I think about this terrible weather forecast, read it and compare it to the previous winters." And when I kind of put it into context, I said, "You know what? It's not that bad. And I think each student reporter kind of felt odd that I was kind of calling them out on the carpet for not really researching of the material that they were asking me a question on. So that's, to me, what responsible journalism is. It's not what do I think about this headline as opposed to what do I think about what's inside the headline. So I thought that was a little
is
bit...
Is that what they were doing, though? I mean, to see what your perspective was on it?
Yeah, they would just, they wanted to know what I thought about it, but as opposed to what I thought about the winter. So I said, well, you ask me about the winter, or you ask me about the report, or the forecast. And each time I did this, I thought, okay, I don't want to nail them, I don't want to rail them down the side. They're trying to do their job. But I said, why don't we look at it this way? Why don't we say that most of this winter is probably going to be what we've seen over the last 12 months, which is a very high variability of a lot of different types of weather. We've seen it already. I mean, even last night, we made it up to 57 degrees at midnight, you know, rather warm for this time of the year. And we've made it up to 70 last Sunday and 60 on Tuesday. And then Wednesday and Thursday were downright cold. It was almost like a winter day around here. So
yeah,
we've seen a lot of that weather already. And there's a fresh 6 inches of snow on the ground all the way from Colorado into Minnesota and northern Wisconsin. So this is what you typically get in November, especially the second half, Mike. And I would say to Leah there in the studio that I think a very much similar pattern last year, a couple of big snowstorms, a couple of heavy snow events, without a doubt some cold weather, but nothing in the way of any real strong pushes of Arctic cold air. But one thing I do see, Mike, is the bookends of winter will last long with a lot of in-betweens in between, if that makes any sense. And that's not being you know, somewhat flighty on the forecast, but we've seen winter go on for a long period of time. Remember how cold it was even into May and early June of last year. I don't call that winter, but it was downright cold. But we've also had a lot of, you know, changeable weather in between. And look what we had earlier this week on Tuesday. We had 12 people, or not 12 people, but 8 people died due to tornadoes in the southeast while we had snowstorms going on across the upper Midwest. So, again, November can be a lot like the month of March.
Yeah, but different.
because it
seems to me you're more likely to get these warm spells like we have right now. This is nice. You know, I was out last night.
Yesterday was nice. I mean, it could be different, but it starts out warmer in November, colder in November, whereas March, I think, is what you're referring to. Starts out cold and ends up warmer.
Yeah. My job is to, at this point, to say that the idea that it is going to be a brutal winter is some goofy thing that got printed in one story, and it got all this play, and it's...
Yeah,
and I understand why you might get a little tense about it. So on the Mike Novak show, we're not buying into that. Okay, we're saying this is not going to be a whole lot different from last year.
Right. It's going to be very similar to what we've had last year. Nothing in the way of any record cold, nothing in the way of any record snow, but still a lot of variability.
Well, Liam just pointed out, we had a blizzard last year. Yeah, but we had one. You know, the East Coast had what, 4 or 5 of them?
Yeah, and then of course they already had one this year. And you know what? I was driving up through the mountains of northern New Jersey and into extreme southeastern Pennsylvania, and Mike, there were a lot of large branches down. Due to the fact that a lot of those trees, were laden with a lot of heavy wet snow. So they had definitely some difficulty, handling that. And yet, 2 weeks after it snowed, they had temperatures back into the 70s. But this has been a good November for the Midwest for soil moisture. It's not been a good one for the Deep South. They're already talking about the potential for, another dry period across the southern plains and parts of Texas. And I can easily see us getting right back in a very hot pattern, dry pattern in the spring in the Deep South, and that could lead to another, warm spring for us with a lot of humidity as well as we head into the summertime. But not getting too far ahead of ourselves, I did send you the official UN climate discussion that we talked about a couple of weeks. We could talk more about that next week, but it basically outlines the same things we talked about a couple of weeks ago, Mike, with the high variability we've already had 10. This is amazing. We've already had $10 billion weather disasters in the United States this year, costing close to $50 billion. That's unbelievable. The amount of money that you know, this extreme weather pattern is costing us and the rest of the world just continues to go up and up and up. And granted, a lot of it has to do with reinsurance and preparation and evacuation and things like this. But this goes a lot into the play of, you know, how we continue to handle these situations, especially when worldwide economies continue to, you know, continue to shrink from the standpoint of how much finances they have on the side to handle some of these problems. So it's not a good situation in any way you look at it.
Well, what about the situation this week? How much variability as we go into Thanksgiving?
You know what? This is amazing, Mike. We actually go into a very, very quiet pattern here in the Midwest. Obviously, we had a bit of a cool front go through the area. Yesterday afternoon, we had temperatures in the mid to upper 50s. So all the people obviously enjoying the Festival of Lights on Michigan Avenue had great weather there. So today, mainly cloudy, readings primarily in the 40s, both today. Tomorrow will probably stay cloudy, maybe a little rain during the day on Tuesday. Looks like the coast, the East Coast, gets a little bit of rain and wet snow. The West Coast stays very, very wet and snowy. But here in Chicago, in the Midwest, if you're doing any traveling between now and Friday, temperatures generally in the 40s and conditions on the dry side for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, Mike. So it looks to be a very placid environment for the next 5 days. After that, things could get a little bit interesting. I'm still looking for the first half of December to be a very stormy and potentially wet and white one here for
really? Okay.
Yeah.
We've talked about, and I can't remember what date you thought the first significant snow accumulation would be in Chicago. I thought I remembered you saying the 27th or something like that.
27th of November, yeah. It still looks like, I think, probably the end of next weekend we can get probably into a cold enough pattern for snow. But I think it's a sure bet that by the middle of the month of December, we'll probably have at least 10 to 12 inches of snow on the ground. I think it'll look very stormy and very snowy.
You don't mean all at once, necessarily.
No. A lot of these little 3 and 4 inches, you know, your typical, you know, wet on the east side and snowy on the north side. That's always how it happens around here. But
the final word on that story that is making the rounds, that this is going to be a miserable winter.
No, I think just very similar we had last year, anywhere between about 50 and 60 inches of snow with some cold spells, but some warm ones as well. So.
All right, there you go. Rick DeMaio, you can go to DeMaioWeather.com. He is the guy who's debunking the story you have heard. Don't believe the hype. We don't go in for hype here with the DeMaio Weather.
Or we can have Rick Perry or Herman Cain try to describe it. That would debunk it just by their inability to speak clearly.
Fabulous. All right, great talking to you, Rick. Okay. Have a wonderful holiday.
Yeah, we'll talk to you next week, Mike.
You betcha. Take care.
Bye.
It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk AM and FM. There ain't no news.
No news.
No news is good news.
Except for my news.
I'll tell you what, 60 seconds, we'll come back, start the second hour, and then I will bust you before we go into our talk about number 2 pencils. How's that?
Yeah.
There's a natural resource that exists everywhere on the planet which could benefit all of civilization, yet it's been largely ignored. That resource is women. In many of the world's poorest communities, women are denied a significant role. So often their talent and potential remain untapped. At CARE, we found in country after country that empowering women is one of the fastest ways to improve conditions and help end poverty. That's why CARE is helping provide girls and women with an education, opportunity, and a voice worldwide.
I am powerful.
I am powerful.
I am powerful.
I am powerful.
It's a source of power the world can no longer afford to overlook. She has the power to change her world. You have the power to help her do it. Call 1-800-521-CARE or visit care.org.
Wait a second. This is what I thought it was. Is this what I think it is?
thing.
No. I thought that was the ID. Okay. Well, we're still dealing with the computer issues here. No. Oh, I know we've got one someplace. But, you know, it probably doesn't. Wait, there we go. No, that's not it either. All right. Why don't we just say that this is WCPT 820 AM and the Mike Novak Show, and we're about to start the second big hour of programming.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
I think this is what I wanted to play. Let's see here.
You're listening to WCPT 820 AM Willow Springs, WCPT FM 92.7 Arlington Heights, WCPQ 99.9 FM Park Forest, WCPY 92.5 FM DeKalb, Chicago's Progressive Talk.
There we go. Now it's nice and official. Okay, Ms. Leah Petrusiak.
Yeah, there's.
Before we get
is
to.
Is my mic on?
It's on now. I know.
Okay.
I've been.
It's okay.
Like with Heather. I almost always know when she's going to speak, when she's going to say something. And so I'm usually there at the mic. You, it's like you keep catching me off guard because I know there are some people who are sensitive to the key clicks here. And I try to bring that down. So
okay.
We got to give you your own. No, I don't want to give you your own mic control. No.
My own show?
You got to stick in Chicago if you want to do that. Before I bust you, we got an email. I just got an email from Randy Ash in Tacoma Park, Maryland. How about that? Mike, I live in Maryland and listen to you streaming on the internet. I just bought 5 catalogs this morning, bought them for gifts for the holidays for my gardening friends.
Aww.
So add Maryland to your list of states where people are responding. Keep up the great work.
That's awesome.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
So,
thank you.
I wonder, have you got any other states out there listening who are going to be buying catalogs, give us a holler, 773-838-9278, or write to me, Mike, at MikeNovak.net, or tweet Mike Now, at Mike Now, or just go to the Mike Novak Show on Facebook. It's great to have people listening
Facebook,
on the stream.
And if you're on Facebook, go to the Landreth Seed Company page and post on their Facebook. I know she probably told him to do that, though.
Yeah,
if you're on Facebook, like the Mike Novak Show.
Yes,
on
you can like us. Let's get us a few more likes out there, okay?
Just a couple, maybe.
Just a few.
We're at 423. If we get to 425, that would be a nice kind of.
No,
like.
I want 430. I'm going to be greedy. Okay, 430. And Annie Haven, hello, Mike. Authentic Haven brand, listening in from Southern California. So we've got not only Maryland, we got both coasts listening, and I know there are folks in New York who like to listen. And of course, Green Soil is Annie's Twitter handle at Green Soil, your natural soil nutrient source for garden and indoor plants. Eco hand package, easy to brew and feed. We make growing green easy for you naturally. And she's not even paying me. So there you go, Annie. There's there is your shout out. And it's great to hear from all these wonderful folks out there. Are you calling Jamie there?
Thinking about it.
Okay, well, not quite yet. Hold on,
right,
hold on before we do that.
I won't.
Because where's that reader?
It's right up here.
Give me the copy of this. All right. So I'm looking on Facebook last night and knowing that Leah's going to be here today.
Trying to get some dirt.
Yeah, trying to get some dirt on you. And somebody, and I go scrolling down some of the Facebook posts there. Yeah. Your C-3PO headsets are on the floor.
Trying to get away off in their spaceship here. Okay.
A friend of hers posts and says, "Hey, great article in the Reader." And I go and I look and, oh my God, Leah had the lead story.
Cover.
The cover story in the Reader on the 3rd of November, and you didn't tell me. And you didn't tell me. And it's called Saved by Rock and Roll. The Arts of Life Band teaches its members and the rest of the world that being developmentally disabled doesn't stand in the way of making...
Oh, bad...
Kick butt music.
kick bleep.
kick bleep music. You can say it, but I don't.
It's great. They're a rock band, and it features half. It features musicians with and without disabilities, and the Arts of Life is a group, and they're confident in the idea that people should be given options and decisions, and normally people with disabilities have either been sheltered off in buildings or institutions and never really like asked like, hey, what would you like to be doing? You know, they're like, here, sort these
things.
Yeah,
here, we'll give you something to do. Here's, you know, some scissors and some piece of paper.
Which was creative kind of back in the 70s because there's a quote in there. It's like people were considered uneducable. It was out of sight, out of mind.
Right.
And it's great. The whole idea is integration. It's like, let's focus on our similarities instead of our differences. And they talk about how, well, you know, some of these folks, they are disabled to a point where they can't live independently. But I don't know. I love, you know, they talk, they have opinions, you know, it's just like, they can, it's like, just like with children, like, oh, we don't think that you can do this. But unless you give somebody an option to try something and make the mistake and, you know, you're not going to learn how to do it, whether it's opening a door or, you know, making a frame or, you know, even, I don't know, some of the places historically, at least back years, people had asked to go to the bathroom. And it's just this great environment. Like, hey, we're going to treat you like adults and we're going to give you, and the band is, it's just amazing because also from a therapeutic point of view, it's just like if you stimulate different senses, it increases processing. And so from drumming to singing to dancing and they're a rad band. Arts of Life band. They were featured on international compilation. There's a whole kind of like movement going on internationally of all these like mixed ability bands and kind of the new punk rock they're describing it.
Well, my feeling is why wouldn't any human being not appreciate some kind of music? I mean, there are people who don't get into music, but it seems like such a basic human need.
A basic human need.
Yeah,
and
music.
One woman who's the subject of the story, you know, recalls, I wasn't allowed to listen to music. You know, I don't know. Again, basic human need, basic human appreciation.
So what kind of disabilities are you talking about?
There are a range. Some are classified, some aren't. The Dave Kruger, who was on the cover, has Down syndrome. Jean Wilson, who's one of the main characters, she hasn't necessarily been classified, but has trouble dealing with money. You know, doesn't understand money so well, or to travel one place to another. That's in the story. But you know, again, just make some rad art. I mean, just really, really great stuff. Also, people who are physically limited in wheelchairs and they don't have much verbal communication skills. But what's great about this group is that if they hire a new staff member, everybody, all the artists are involved. So even if this woman named Linda can't speak, they'll say, Linda, you know, would you like to vote so-and-so in? And she'll have the option to shake her head yes or no. But it's giving that people the option, even though they don't have certain communication abilities, they do have some communication abilities. And let's recognize that.
Did you get to hear some of this music?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I've seen them live over the course of the last few years.
I mean, I know you sweat blood writing these stories for the reader. And especially if it's the cover story, you have to sweat blood.
Yeah.
And I know it doesn't they can't possibly pay you enough to make up for all the time you put into it. But how long have you been working on this story?
This has been, well, I saw them 3 years ago. It's probably been a year and a half, almost two, before it actually went to press for various reasons. But, you know, got to see a number of shows. And the big thing is that they'll perform at mainstream venues, the Old Town School of Folk Music, Empty Bottle. And, you know, it's just... it's being able to just be comfortable with people historically. I think one of my ending quotes was a guy who's, I think, almost 60. He says, when I was growing up, it was, oh, don't look at that person. And now it's like, hey, you know, like, let's hang out and talk and dance. And again, let's focus on the similarities we have, whether it's humor, music appreciation, you know, and just what can we learn from each other. There's a story in there, one of the band leaders is like, I'm really shy. I don't like, I don't talk to people. And, you know, Dave, who's really outgoing, helps him be more outgoing. So it's just, we can all learn something from each other. But it's great. It's all about integration. And they form, you know, they'll perform at some, you know, disability events, but also the Empty Bottle and the Double Door. And so... it's really cool. I think it's artsoflife.org.
And the reason you didn't tell me about this was why?
Well, You know, honestly, because, you know, when you're working on a project for so long, a year and a half, I'm so overstimulated that it was like I didn't even promote it for a little bit.
Well, you're going to promote it now. Here's what we're going to do. First, we're going to get Jamie Gallagher on the phone from Faber-Castell.
Yes.
Second, as soon as you have him up, you're going to post a link to that article on the Mike Novak Show page. And also on my personal page, Mike Novak,
okay.
So that folks can take a look at it. And if they can go to that article and they can like it. You said you already had like 900 likes on it?
Over 716.
That's awesome.
It's, it's, you know, we all, the disability community is wide and large. And we all, you know, to some extent, you know, are challenged or have family members or friends. And, you know, again, it's just embracing everybody is for who they are and loving everybody for, you know, for their abilities, you know. And so I think a lot of people can identify with that.
Well,
but it's been great, you know, let's get the word out.
Well, congratulations.
And, out, so
and I noticed that you have like 50 of these stacked in the in the studio.
God.
It's like,
yeah.
In case anybody wanted some light reading, I've
right,
got...
Right. 4,000 word story, anybody?
4,000, yeah. And I made 0.7 cents per word on it. It was just fabulous. So
it's civic contribution.
Well, good for you, Leah Petrusiak. Again, it's called Saved by Rock and Roll. It's by Leah Petrusiak. It was a lead story, the cover story in The Reader on the 3rd of November this month. And we will post it on the Mike Novak Show so that you can see what talent is here on staff, on Mike Novak's staff. See, I find them all over the place. I don't know how I track these people down. Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. Winter is just a month away, and did you know that it's an excellent time to prune your trees? One of the reasons is that winter pruning can slow the spread of diseases such as Dutch elm disease and oak wilt, and even an infestation of emerald ash borer. Why? Well, because the tree is dormant and less likely to produce running sap that attracts disease-carrying insects. In addition, pruning can also help reduce snow and ice damage, which is really important, and especially to trees that are prone to this kind of damage. There's you know, like your Bradford pears. They're one of the ones that tend to snap a little bit if you get too much ice or snow. Make the Care of Trees your permanent partner in enhancing the value of your landscape. Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard, you're changing your landscape, or you're moving, invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees, their businesses, people, and their love for trees.
Allergies acting up, trouble breathing, headaches, sinus pressure, you're tired, congested. Isn't it time to feel better? Breathe deeply and easily. Get rid of the symptoms that complicate your life. Dr. Bonnie Flaster is an acupuncturist and chiropractor who helps people get rid of allergies without using drugs, shots, or needles. Call Dr. Flaster at River North Wellness Center, 312-642-7545, or go to rivernorthwellness.com to find out how to get your body feeling better so you can enjoy life again.
You know that Black Friday is coming, but are you ready for Green Tuesday at Grand Street Gardens? That's their holiday open house on Tuesday, November 29, just after Thanksgiving. Have some wine, cheese, sweets, and more while shopping for Christmas trees, garlands, poinsettias, bows, pine cones, and tree stands. Local artists will be on hand showcasing their homemade Christmas items. Bad Christmas sweaters are encouraged! Tuesday, November 29th from 4 to 8 p.m. at Grand Street Gardens, 2200 West Grand Avenue in Chicago.
It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk AM and FM. Before we get to Jamie, somebody wants to comment on your article. All right, let's go to the phone. Who is this, Peter?
Yes, this is Peter. How did you know?
I don't know. It's because your name's on the screen, I think.
Okay, there we go. Okay, I'm one of Leah's, or L-Dub, as I call her, biggest fans. But some of the things she was saying, you know, about the independent living. I mean, how many of us are really completely independent? We're all, you know, we're a society. We're a social animal. You know, we're all dependent in some fashion or another on others. So, you know, I like that. I like what she said about that. And also, you know, how many of us are not disabled in some ways, too, you know?
Right. And, some of us are good at some things and not
particular,
others.
And particularly rock stars. I mean, look around you at the whole
right
rock and roll people. I mean, from, you know, shy people to outrageously outgoing people and, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, I like some of those things that you're saying. And I also have one comment about the winter, coming winter.
Yeah.
That there, I have empirical evidence that it will be a long and cold winter.
Okay, and that is?
Because L-Dub is leaving town. So,
Well, she does tend to go to the warm climes in the summer, or in the winter.
He's a cab driver, though. He's out on the streets quite a bit. Man, I hate to see what cab drivers have to deal with, because you have to be on the road.
You're a cab driver, Peter?
Yes, I am.
How's the cabbie business these days?
Well, we're getting ready for another big, you know, we have a new commissioner and a new mayor, and there's going to be another round of increasing economic pressures on cab drivers, which we're not looking forward to. I mean, we had a big turn down in the economy about 3 years ago, and now...
I hadn't noticed.
Well, it got really bad, and it's, you know, it's come back. I've been gone for a while, and I came back, like, you know, I was gone for 6-7 months, and I came back a couple months ago, and it seems okay now. It's like, of course, it is the busiest time of year, but I've also heard that the city is planning to increase lease fees, I mean, increase fines, you know, do all kinds of things to eat into our economy. And because it's a largely immigrant population of workers, it's like they really don't have a voice in a way to fight back or even struggle. And they're actually usually too afraid to, because they feel like that they're an at-risk community, you know, of workers. So... Yeah. So it's not looking good.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Well, hang in there, buddy, and thank you for calling. I'm glad that you're a fan of Leah's, and well, everybody needs fans, Leah.
Yeah,
even you.
Exactly. I know she's not really good at self promotion.
No, she's not.
She's going to have to change that if she's going into the big jungle of L.A. You know
exactly. Like, have you posted this yet on my?
No, I'm
no.
doing
All
that.
All right, do it right now.
All right. Okay.
She's posting the article at the Mike Novak Show page on Facebook.
We're going to go to Jamie. Thank you.
Thanks, Peter.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right.
And speaking of economies and downturns and things that do well and don't well, I would assume that the number two pencil is something that never loses its value. And I asked this of Jamie Gallagher, who's on the line, president and CEO of Faber-Castell USA. /Creativity for Kids. Good morning, Jamie. How are you?
I'm doing great, Mike. How are you guys doing?
Terrific. It's such a pleasure to have you on the show. I have to admit, I'm not now Leah, who's a professional writer and who's sitting here next to me producing the show today, knows all about Faber-Castell. My partner, Kathleen, who's a professional writer, knows all about Faber-Castell. Me, radio guy, I get this email about the 250th anniversary of Faber-Castell, and I go, what's Faber-Castell? And then, of course, I read, inventor of the number two pencil, and I go, oh, those guys! And, I'm busting myself. It's okay. I'm not aware of everything in the world, but you'd think that after 250 years, I would have noticed that you guys are around.
Well, you're just lucky to be surrounded by people like Lee and Kathleen.
I am. The smart ones.
Yeah.
And who understand the value of a number two. Well, I always understood the value of a number two pencil. I have to start there. And I know that you do different things and you work with Creativity for Kids and that Faber-Castell does a lot of great products for kids that are not toxic, that are, you know, help them learn and grow. But let's get to basics, okay? One of the basics being, this company was founded in 1761, and you're celebrating 250 years. I went on your website and looked at the timeline, And I couldn't stop. I mean, I kept clicking on. And then in this 10-year period or this 15-year period, and then this man ran the company for 60 years, and then we added these. And all along the way, you've been a socially progressive company that has paid attention to the condition of the workers. You've tried to be responsible in many ways. And in the last 20 years in particular, you've been environmentally responsible. That must make you proud to be associated with the company.
Yeah, that's actually what you've given is just a great summary and articulation of, you know, what has been consistent over 250 years. And, you know, part of that is really when you're a family-owned, privately held company. And right now, Count Faber-Castell, who is the chairman, is eighth generation.
Wow.
So Count Tony, as we affectionately call him, has really kept up, you know, those consistent core values of the company. And as you mentioned, you know, even before being socially and environmentally responsible was, you know, cachet and the thing to do, he was out there believing in it and inheriting that belief system from his predecessors. So we're really proud. And the other thing, Mike, that I think is really important is it's not just for PR purposes. It is actually really good business.
That doesn't surprise me that it is really good business. And by the way, I have to tell you this, no offense, Jamie, but if I had a choice between having Count Anton von Faber-Castell on the show or Jamie Gallagher, you know where I'm going to go.
And you know what? That is absolutely fine with me. I don't blame you one bit, and I get it all the time. So happy to be here. I'm happy to pinch hit for the count anytime I can.
Okay. Pinch hit for the count.
I love the idea that the CEO of the company is a count.
Yeah.
Not many companies, especially. How many companies are there in the world that are older than Faber-Castell?
Well, right now, the interesting part for us is we have the oldest active brand in the United States. So, you know, not so many people, as you point out, not so many people think about us or know us, but really we have the oldest actively registered brand in the U.S.
Yeah, I saw that because it starts, it's A.W. Faber, it was high up in the alphabet. It's also number one listed, isn't it? Or was.
It
was. But the oldest in term and but that's been interrupted a few times, too, hasn't it? I mean, given the fact that this is a German company, you've had problems with wars. You've had problems with certain of the siblings splitting off and starting their own versions of the company. Yet through all of this, there was the German version. And in the long run, you ended up, you know, you've been in the United States in several incarnations and you're back and you're still here, actually.
And that's one of the fascinating things that we're kind of reminded of when we celebrate an anniversary like this year is, again, because it's a family-owned company, the history of the company has paralleled, you know, the history of the world with wars and strife and challenges. The family, along with the company, lived that. So even though we were, you know, in the U.S. in 1849, you know, we vacated the U.S. in the early 1900s and then came back.
Yeah, it is kind of odd. Let's get to the number two.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah,
the number two. I mean, do you guys have a pet name for the number two pencil?
You know, we really don't. The interesting thing about the number two and where we point to it so much is when kind of the way we look at the world and we look at our business and somebody says, well, you know, what do you guys do? You know, our response is best characterized by we try and do ordinary things extraordinarily well. And when you look at a number two pencil, there is no better example of that than the way that we produce that basic product. It is really unlike the way anybody else does it. And there's just nuances. You may find this interesting. If you take any pencil, actually, but let's take the number two in this case. When we lay that lead into the wood casing, there is a way that you can save money by what they call spot gluing that lead along this channel. So basically what a number two pencil is, it's a lead or graphite sandwich between two channels of wood. Well, you can save money by what they call spot gluing that lead in there. But what will happen, and you've probably had this experience, when you go to use it or sharpen it, you'll find that the lead will fall out of that pencil in chunks or in sections. And the reason is because it's not glued all the way up and down the channel. For us, what we do to really add value to the product and quality is it's glued in all along the channel. It's something called SV bonding, which is a technical term. But what it does is it gives you a great sharpener. It gives you a great opportunity to get the full use out of the entire pencil. So when we look at the number two and people say, oh my gosh, what a standard product that is. It is, but once again, you can do ordinarily products extraordinarily well.
When, well, you manufacture 2 billion number two pencils. Now you said you use the word lead. Is there some lead and some graphite, or is it all graphite?
It's technically graphite.
It's
and
technically
we do have
graphite, right.
And one of the things that was actually invented, you talk about, you know, the sophistication of this, you know, there are basically 16 different grades of hardness. And it's really about what the mixture is of lead and graphite. What's the composition? You can have hard, you can have soft. And Faber-Castell was the company that invented different grades of hardnesses. And you'll notice that, maybe Kathleen or maybe Leah understand this with the use of a pencil. You can have soft leads and you can have harder, sharper leads.
Heck, even I know that. All right. I guess I would ask at this point, and I want to get into the environmental part of this in a second, but I'm just so fascinated by the idea that here in the 21st century, you're still manufacturing 2 billion number two pencils. Have you seen the use of the pencil decline as technology advances? We've got ballpoint pens. We've got computers.
That's a good question.
What's the future of the number two?
Yeah, there's no question that it's a challenge for us every day. And you know, the wonderful thing is we have emerging markets all around the world for whom the pencil is such a basic tool, and it's such a tremendous tool. And I really mean a tool for education and creativity and inspiration in some of these emerging markets. That's really a business opportunity for us that we're you know, taking advantage of every day. But absolutely, I mean, you and I both know that in the U.S., it's difficult. It's a really difficult market to maintain the relevance and the importance of writing instruments in general.
That being said, you also produce a lot of other products. You've got erasers, you've got ballpoints, you've got color pencils.
And the art materials. I forgot about that.
Yeah, and that's part of what you do with Creativity for Kids, I understand.
Yeah, so what we would say is that, you know, as much as people may know us as a pencil company, you know, really what we do across a wide variety of, you know, 2,000 or more products is we produce great quality products for creativity and self-expression. And that self-expression, as Leah mentions, is, you know, it's anything from fine art material. So that can be an artist pen with India ink. It can be a highly pigmented color pencil or watercolor pencil. We do a wide variety of products. We've got our children's products with color pencils and markers and things. So, yeah, it really is a company that, as diverse as our product line might be and our brands might be, it's really all about tools of creativity and self-expression.
So given that you make so many products, I read on your website, and you're very proud of this, are 3 times carbon neutral, meaning that you remove 3 times as much carbon as you put into the environment. How do you do that?
Well, a big part of that is really the reforestation or the forestation project we have in Brazil. That's one where, you know, you go back to, this was done 25 years ago. So even before people were really talking about this, Count Faber-Castell decided that one of the real fundamental tenets of our company was going to be social and environmental responsibility. So that's where it's right now in that area is about, you know, 25,000, just shy of 25,000 acres down in Brazil, you know, a good distance from the Amazon rainforest.
As you point out, yes, that it is a good distance from the rainforest, so I assume you do not have any significant impact on the rainforest.
That's right. It's about 2,500 kilometers away from the rainforest, and what we've got is, you know, a wonderful opportunity for us to be, you know, sustainable. And we're producing, I think right now we're up to 95% of certified, FSC-certified wood that we're using. And, of course, you know, that alone gives us a tremendous opportunity to be, you know, better than carbon neutral.
And I should explain that FSC is Forward Stewardship
right.
Council, and they it certified you in 1999, and of course they have very strict standards about the use of wood and how you are replacing it.
Yeah, and they've done a wonderful job as well to try and, you know, bring some structure and some consistency to this whole market, especially in the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Now, why just Brazil? Do you have forests in other parts of the globe?
You know, that's an excellent question, and in fact, I can't really divulge much here, but I can tell you that exactly the way you're thinking, we are as well. We are looking at expanding and doing this in other places.
And in Brazil, you grow a tropical pine species, Pinus carabea,
right.
Which grows, we wouldn't recognize it here. Would we recognize it as a pine here?
I think if you saw it, you would, but it really is something that's rather special. It's really a certain type that grows very, very quickly in poor conditions, and it's very, very easy to replant as well.
So you're doing and does it have special qualities that make it good for pencils?
The biggest thing is we can certainly use it for strength and consistency and durability. One of the real factors, as I mentioned, is that it's very easy to grow in poor conditions, and it does also grow very quickly.
So this is basically a tree farm for your company, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
exactly.
You don't have to go in and cut down other trees.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry, I was just thinking.
Yeah. That's,
didn't quite make that link right away.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's sort of the sustainability model, which is, okay, we're going to be using trees, we're going to be using wood, we might as well grow our own, we'll grow
right.
them so they can grow fast. We won't impinge on the tropical forest or any other area. I mean, you're growing them in a savanna where I assume there's not a lot of rain, but the trees don't require it.
That's right.
I wish more companies had that sustainable model. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Right.
And the other thing I noticed is that, and by the way, we're talking to Jamie Gallagher, who is the president and CEO of Faber-Castell USA and Creativity for Kids. You're based in Cleveland.
We are. We're based in Cleveland.
And one of the things that you've also done in terms of sustainability, at least safety, is put non-toxic chemicals on the outside of your pencils. I mean, anybody who's ever had a pencil has chewed a pencil.
Oh, my gosh.
Right.
I don't know what's worse than getting the metal taste or the paint chipping into my mouth on my teeth. Wait, but that used to be toxic, but now it's not.
Right, and now we've moved to a water-based varnish, which we're using. And that's, you know, as much as it is certainly about the benefits for consumers, but, you know, we also keep in mind our factory workers as well.
It's
just a better, you know, solution to be using in the midst of a factory.
Oh, my goodness, yes. But, of course, ultimately, it ends up with kids and adults. I don't think that the adults put pencils in their mouth any less than kids do.
Probably not.
The other thing that I didn't mention about the Brazil forest you have, it's also a refuge for endangered species in Brazil. You're protecting over 280 species on that land. How do you reconcile the two? I assume that you have to put aside some areas just for the species. Does that mean you're not growing your pine trees there or different varieties? How does that work?
Yeah, there's about a 30% of that is really set aside as a refuge for endangered species. And as you mentioned, there's, you know, over 280 of those of all different types, really, on that land. So it's when you stop and think about the detail and the amount of thinking and the amount of planning that really goes behind this, you can see why, you know, it's something that the Count is very proud of, and it's something that, you know, hey, it's built up over 25 years.
I just love it when you say the count.
Yeah.
The Count is very proud of this. It's like, you know, hey, Jamie, we live in America, okay? This is America. I'm kidding you. We just got a tweet from the number three pencil who's feeling slighted.
Yes.
I don't.
On line three.
I'm not taking that call. Well, this is just fabulous stuff. I am happy to speak to you. It's a cool anniversary. How many companies survived 250 years? How many then take that legacy and turn it into an environmental plus? And I'm glad you're doing what you're doing. And you know, anytime you've got something interesting you want to talk about, give me a holler.
And I'll tell you, Mike and Lynn, next time it'll be the Count. I promise you.
Really?
We'll step it up and we'll get the Count to talk to you, because I'll tell you, he would absolutely love to talk about everything we're doing. He's so proud of it. He's especially excited this year because it's our 250th anniversary.
I want the Count to visit the show, and I want to visit the castle. I read about the castle. They have a castle.
I'll travel there and do a
Would you come back? You would come back for that? You know what? I would love to have the Count on the show. I think it would be really fun. And so my feeling is put in a good word for me there, Jamie.
I will absolutely do that.
Okay. Take care, buddy. Thank you so much for being part of the show on this Sunday.
Thank you as well, and keep up the great work.
Thanks,
you
Jamie.
Too. Bye-bye.
Alrighty. Bye-bye.
It's the Mike Novak Show, Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. The Count is next. And I didn't even do my Dracula accent.
We need to get the greatest countdown music. Shoot.
Countdown music.
No, what's that from Arrested Development? Oh, never mind. I'll look it up.
Okie poke. All right. Well, coming up, it's Sustainable Food Fundamentals. We're getting to the to 2 weeks until the big food drive. Actually, less than that. We start on December 1st. Suzanne Kears, co-founder and executive director of Local First Chicago, joins us in a couple of short minutes.
Oh, my. Give your holiday event the perfect atmosphere with the Frozen Robins Christmas Caroling Quartet. Fun and funny professional singers garbed in Dickensian costume. Also available, Santa, Mrs. Claus, that's me, and other favorite characters, and hilarious comedy holiday shows. Make your holiday one to remember. Go to ChicagoImprovAssociates.com and hit the holiday button. That's ChicagoImprovAssociates.com.
At Innovative Insulation Solutions, their mission is to deliver the highest performing foam insulation systems available on today's market with an incredible R value of up to 7 per inch. Their history of safe and effective application of these systems, coupled with total dedication to quality, consistently earns their customers' trust and satisfaction. They specialize in all types of foam insulation. Spray-applied close-cell and open-cell polyurethane foam insulation, closed-wall cavity injection, and foam-in-place masonry block insulation. Innovative Insulation Solutions is totally committed to anticipating, solving, and supporting all of your foam insulation needs. Call Innovative Insulation Solutions today at 847-454-9081 or go to gotfoaminsulation.com. That's 847-454-9081 or go to gotfoaminsulation.com.
Thinking about a holiday gift for your Chicagoland gardening friends? I'll bet you can see where this is going already. How about something called the Chicagoland Gardening Magazine? After all, the name tells you who the magazine is for. And the people who write for Chicagoland Gardening are people who live in this Zone 5 region, so they know about the plants you're growing in your yards. The cover story in the November-December issue is about decorating your garden with the reds of winter. We're talking about the beautiful red berries on evergreen and deciduous hollies and the striking branches of red-stemmed dogwoods. Of course, there's my column on the inside back page. There's little striking about it, and it's seldom red. Get it? Seldom red? Red? Okay. I'm going to get more hate mail. All right. Pick up a copy of Chicago. No names. We were before the show. We were reading the hate mail that I got, and I get hate mail occasionally, and some people don't appreciate my humor. And you know what I say to them? Pick up a copy of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine on newsstands all over Chicago. But why don't you make it a gift that reminds your friends of you all year long. To subscribe for yourself or somebody else, call 888-265-3600, 888-265-3600, or go to ChicagolandGardening.com.
Want to make a positive move in the housing market? Replace your siding and windows. You'll improve your home's look and energy efficiency, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling and energy needs. Siding, windows, solar and wind power, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Your friends at Grand Street Gardens have a suggestion for your holiday. Why not enjoy wine, cheese, sweets, and savories while shopping for holiday gifts and decor at the Grand Street Gardens Holiday Open House on Tuesday, November 29th from 4 to 8 p.m. The store will be fully stocked with a wide selection of fresh greens, branches, wreaths, Christmas trees, and more. Bad Christmas sweaters just might be worn and might be encouraged. Join the fun. Grand Street Gardens, 2200 West Grand Avenue in Chicago.
Beans and cornbread. Beans and cornbread. Beans and cornbread.
Sustainable food fundamentals. Growing good food that's good for the earth.
Cornbread said, now that's all right. Meet me on the corner tomorrow night.
I'll be ready. I'll be ready tomorrow night.
I can't help but sing along with that. Now, Leah, you're getting it posted, your story. Saved by Rock and Roll on the Mike Novak Show.
Do you ever have that moment you're like, should I put an exclamation point in or no exclamation
Always.
Point?
And in general, it's better to skip the exclamation point.
Crap.
Because everybody uses them.
All right?
Just saying.
Going to use five.
Hey, we're up to
five
425, not on yours because you haven't refreshed. But as soon as you post it.
Refresh.
Wait a second. How come you've got 423? I got 425 on mine.
Your computer's better than mine.
I think it is. It's ahead of your computer. All right, let's go to the phone. Suzanne Kears, co-founder and executive director, Local First Chicago. Good morning, Suzanne.
Hi there. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you doing?
It's terrific. Thanks.
You guys are doing a wonderful thing at Local First Chicago. And I have to say that you've been on my radar for a long time, and I don't know why I haven't had you on the show before. Now, but I'm glad that you are, and you can go to www.localfirstchicago.org. We'll talk about your initiative in a second, but first, tell us about Local First Chicago.
Sure. Well, we're a citywide organization that supports locally owned independent businesses, and we're actually affiliated with a national organization called the Business Alliance for Local Living Economies. And we're one of about 80 networks across North America that are working on these issues, the issues of relocalizing our economy. It's sort of a broad economic concept, but basically what it says is a community that has a root of locally owned independent businesses is more stable economically, it's more interesting and unique, and creates great walkable, environmentally sustainable neighborhoods. And overall, it's a good thing to think about. We need to think about these locally owned businesses.
Okay, I don't want to, I want to get realistic here. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Are we beating up on the Walgreens and the Starbucks of the world here? What's going on?
Well, the world is a big world, and there's global reach and many different kinds of businesses. So no, I mean, I have no illusions that we're going to have much of an impact on Walgreens or Best Buy or anybody else's bottom line. The key is to think about the independent business owners and the fact that they do make a big contribution to our communities, and we've sort of forgotten about that. And so, it's about shifting your behavior just a little bit, and it doesn't take that much to make a difference for these locally owned independent businesses. So, yeah, people will still shop at some, chain stores, but we want to convince them that if they could just change their habits just a little bit, where it fits in their budget, where they can make a choice, where they can vote with their dollars, it could make a difference in their neighborhood.
I try to buy all my liquor locally.
There you go.
Seriously, well, I think we forget about the liquor corner stores. You think like, oh, I'm a Jewel and I'm getting these other things and, but seriously, it's probably a nice walk too to just walk down the block.
But it's not as simple as all that, is it, Suzanne? I mean, for instance, isn't Dominic's a local
No,
they're not. Wait, no. Somebody told me that.
So this is a really great question.
I mean, what constitutes local? Yeah.
One that some companies would really like you to be confused about.
Okay.
So when
and
we
I
talk
am, obviously.
About a locally owned business, the key word is ownership. Who owns the business?
Okay.
And so a publicly traded company can never be a locally owned company because it's owned by shareholders. It's not owned by even if it's headquartered.
What about franchises?
Well, franchises get a little dodgy, and let me just tell you why this ownership is the issue, because we have studies that show when you spend money at a store that is owned by somebody in the community, more money stays in the community. Specifically, it was a study done called the Andersonville Study. It was done here in, guess what, Andersonville, in 2005. And it showed that for every $100 you spend at a locally owned store, $68 stays and recirculates in the community. Whereas if you spend it at a chain store, a non-locally owned store, only $43 stays in your community. And so it's not about location. In other words, there is no such thing as your locally owned Target just because they're nearby. They are not, by our definition, a local store. They're not owned locally. They're owned by a corporation. And more money leaves the community when you spend $100 there than if you spent that same $100 at a store that is owned by somebody who lives in your community.
Okay, but yeah, you're right. It can get a little dicey, though, when, I mean, some of them are kind of obvious, like you say, when you say Target or
right.
Best Buy or Walmart. But if you have somebody who's doing a franchise mm-hmm. operation, they're the manager, they don't actually, you know, how much of that money stays in? And I guess the other thing people would argue is, what about the employees? Of course,
right.
If you've got a store in an area, you got to have, you're not going to ship in people from New York to work.
Absolutely.
You know, but.
So the franchise, you know, is probably somewhere in between that $68 stain and the $43 stain. Because obviously, franchises have all sorts of different models, right? And some are closer to being really, truly locally owned, and some are closer to being just, you know, a company store, right? That's, you know, so for example, a McDonald's, they have no choice about what their outside of their store looks like. They have no choice about where they buy any of their products. So they can't, even if they wanted to buy products locally, they wanted to buy the beef or the potatoes or something locally, they couldn't. They can't. It's against the rules for a McDonald's to do that. Whereas there are other franchises that, yeah, they can pretty much do what they want. All they've bought is just, you know, the logo or something. They've bought the rights to do it, and they can do whatever they want with it. So, again, it's all on a continuum. And it's not to say anything's wrong or bad or you should feel guilty about shopping there or doing that. It's more about just raising awareness and making people think about it. Could I make a different choice here? And so, you know, we don't want to demonize anybody. We don't want to make anybody feel guilty. It's just a matter of, you know, thinking about what your values are. And, you know, it's no different. I know that you guys talk a lot about local food on this show. You talk a lot about gardening and green and things like that. So, you know, some people shop their values and only or move some of their money to shop at environmentally sustainable businesses.
Well, you know, you're moving right into the area mm-hmm. that dovetails nicely with what we're doing with the sustainable WCPT holiday harvest. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're trying to figure out what sustainable means. And we've been examining this question all along. This week, the focus is, you know, in the past, sustainability has been on is canned tuna better than canned salmon or vice mm-hmm. versa? Or, you know, will people actually eat quinoa if you mm-hmm. you donate it? And even though it's a complete protein
right.
and on. And now this week, the focus is local. What right. constitutes local? And I guess that takes us to your campaign, Unwrap mm-hmm. Chicago, Eat, Drink, and Buy Local. So you right. guys are behind that with a bunch of other folks.
Right.
So explain how that happened.
So, again, working with our sister organizations across the country, we get a lot of the best practices. What really helps locally owned independent businesses? And one component of what we need to do in you know, rebuilding our local economies is educate consumers, educate policymakers, right, government policymakers, and actually the businesses themselves in some cases, about what the impacts of local businesses are. So what Unwrap Chicago Eat, Drink, and Buy Local is what's known as a Buy Local campaign. It's a PR campaign, essentially, to educate folks about the impacts of local businesses and get them thinking about that as they make their holiday purchases. So we're actually part of many, many networks across North America right now who are doing this. There's a national campaign called Shift Your Shopping, and there's a website called shiftyourshopping.org.
Be careful how you say that.
Yeah, don't say it too fast.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying.
And so here in Chicago, we've obviously taken it and molded it to Chicago. We call our campaign Unwrap Chicago, Eat, Drink, and Buy Local. And what we're asking folks to do is take a pledge this holiday season to shift $100 of their planned holiday spending from a chain store to a locally owned store. And if every household in Chicago did that, we would keep $25 million from leaking out of our local economy over the holidays. And so it's a modest thing. It's not, you know, like asking them to, you know, shift all of their shopping or anything. Just think about, you know, could you move $100? Could you, you know, and that includes whether it's spending money at restaurants or spending money out, you know, celebrating with friends at a local pub or at a retailer. So all of those different ways of spending a locally owned business would help keep money in our local economy. And so we are doing this Buy Local campaign, like I said, to raise awareness. But we also know that there's actually been a survey done the last 4 years of, again, a nationwide survey of retailers. And they ask the retailers, you know, how much did your sales go up over the holiday season? And then they ask them, did you have a Buy Local campaign in your area? And the data show that when there's a Buy Local campaign, their retailers do benefit. Their sales last year went up like 5.6% versus 2.1% for areas that didn't have a Buy Local campaign. So we know that these kind of campaigns do make a difference.
And you have the website. You can go to the website, which is unwrapchicago.org.
Mm-hmm.
And don't forget, there's a W in the word wrap.
Right.
It's not. You got to stick the W in there. You can take the pledge.
Right.
If you take the pledge, not only are you committing yourself to this, but you're going to have a raffle and give people some local prizes from local businesses.
Right, exactly.
You know what I would do? If the one thing I would change on the website is. Put on that homepage website, Unwrap Chicago, because I've been there several times, mm-hmm. and I just want the link that says, here are the local businesses in Chicago. I know you say you've got our partners and blah, blah, but it's not really as clear as it should be. It should be, here they are, local businesses. These are the where you should buy, because you've got Unwrap a local, you've got stories about local businesses and event calendar, and I kept looking, go, okay, where's the, and it says learn more about our Unwrap partners. Mm-hmm. That's not as straightforward as just saying, here's where the, these are the businesses you should buy from locally in Chicago, and they're sponsoring us. I don't know.
That is fantastic. No, I'm glad you pointed that out. You know, when you're so deep into something, you sometimes don't see the most obvious things.
Yeah, because you're promoting this.
We have a directory on the Local First Chicago page, or mm-hmm. on the Local First Chicago site, localfirstchicago.org, and there is an online business directory there where you can search for locally owned businesses. We have about 3,300 locally owned independent businesses listed in that directory.
Why don't you just put that directory right on the Unwrap Chicago?
I'm going to put a link to that today.
And, of course, if you go to, part of the reason we're doing this is because the food drive we're having for WCPT, our mm-hmm. holiday harvest, Feed the Need, and Feed the Need locally. And I'm encouraging people to go to your site, find stuff that can be donated to our food drive,
mm-hmm.
Buy there if you're going to contribute to the food drive, which starts on December 1st. And, of course, on the big day, December 4th, Mike Sanders and I from Our Town will be here broadcasting and encouraging people to drop off stuff and getting reports from the drop-off sites. And this week we have a lot of those sites now on board. If you go to my webpage and click on the Holiday Harvest logo, you can get the map where we're going to drop them off. And we also have a list that I got from Faith in Place and from Robin Shermer
mm-hmm.
Of the winter's farmers markets, not just the ones that Faith in Place is doing, but all of them in the area. And my advice would be, and I hope you agree,
mm-hmm.
Is go to one of those markets,
yep,
buy something that is non-perishable, and then donate it to the WCPT Holiday Harvest. You're buying locally. You're pumping money back into the economy. You're probably buying healthy. And people keep saying, how are we making this local? How are we making this sustainable? This is it. I mean, this is the nexus of this effort.
Absolutely. Because in that case, probably almost all of the money stays here. You know, it's way above the $68 per $100 because it's produced locally, it's packaged up locally, and it's sold locally. You know, so it's very likely that it's almost 100% of that money will stay in the community. That's the home run.
Yeah, that is. I like the way you put that. That is the home run. Mm-hmm. If you buy at one of these farmers markets and then you donate to the WCPT Holiday Harvest, you have hit the home run.
Absolutely.
Fabulous. All right. Well, Suzanne, it's a pleasure having you on the show. We got to do this again.
Absolutely. I'd love to come back.
I tell you what, you know, if you want to do a report as you're doing the drive, this Unwrap Chicago goes for how long?
All through the holiday season, so till the end of the year.
We can encourage people as long as you want. And I've got all the links up to Unwrap Chicago and to Local First Chicago, and I hope people take the pledge.
That's great. Thanks so much.
All right, Suzanne. Talk to you later.
Nice. Thanks.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. I see that Leah Petrusiak has finally posted her article on my Facebook page, The Mike Novak Show. So go there and look at the article, and then like me, because I put that wonderful article up there. And
thanks for everyone. Somebody liked it too on the online story. So thank you for that.
Well, and congratulations on that. I haven't even read it yet, so when I get home, I'm going to read that. And good luck in L.A.
Thank you.
You'll be in touch.
Yeah,
you have to give us a report. And when you become rich and famous, hire me.
I will do that.
Okay. You do that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. I hope you have a wonderful holiday. Shop local for Thanksgiving as well. Shop local for food for our holiday harvest. It's coming up in just 2 weeks. And until then, go green or...
go home.
See ya.